Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one's killer. It's with Nick Dampf from Dampf Good Barbecue in Cary, North Carolina. And that's Dampf, D-A-M-P-F. And we get into that name, and we get into what the name means, and it's a very catchy name, so I love it. This one is awesome because it shows that if you put out good quality food, people will come. And this is Texas-style barbecue in essentially the heart of pork country, but Dampf has always been on my radar. If you're listening to this just on the podcast, check out the intro because there's tons of photos. He also does give a tour of their pits as well as their food truck and the seating in the farm area that they're on, which is just awesome. So if you're also another reason to jump over to the YouTube site to see that. It's really, really cool. It's super impressive. They have primitive pits right now. They're getting a Centex pit pretty soon. And moreover, Nick is just a killer guy, so down to earth, just passionate about what he does and knowledgeable. And if I was anywhere close, I'd probably go there once or twice a week. They're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 11 a.m. to sold out. On Saturdays, now they're getting into a farmer's market season. There's a farmer's market nearby. They'll be having breakfast, and then, which is really, really cool, on Thursday and Friday nights, they stay open until about 7. So if you're getting off work in the area, you can come by and get food because they're cooking anyway, so they decided to offer food. So that's really cool. You can call or check their Instagram. That's the best way to make sure. Can't thank Nick enough for taking the time. I don't want to say too much because I want you to hear his words, but one awesome thing, if you're flying in Raleigh, they are like 7 to 8 minutes from the airport. So that's perfect. So again, that's Dampf Good Barbecue on all the social media. Definitely check them out when you're in North Carolina. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I'm at kevinsbbqjoints on all the social media. But at the end, stay safe and visit your local barbecue joint. Nick, it's so good to meet you finally. This is great. I'm glad.
Yeah, you too, man.
Your background's gorgeous. Let's jump into where you are right now, and then we'll go back through your kind of your history with your, and then with your brother too. But right now you're at a farm. What's it called again?
So it's called Phillips Farms of Cary. Okay. It's right off, people that are familiar with the area, it's on the west, far, far western side of Cary, almost like as far north as Morrisville, almost in Durham, almost in Chapel Hill. It's like this weird, like no man's land type area. So it's a really funny spot because most of the rest of the triangle is very industrialized. But there's like 80 acres here that's just kind of tucked away and kind of untouched by all the commercial buildings that are going up. And it's a nice little spot. People really like it because it's out away from all the stress of work.
Yeah, I think mentally that's a nice thing to visit, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So it's like this pavilion behind us, just for scale, I mean, it's about 150 feet long by 50 feet wide.
Whoa.
And then the one I'm sitting in right now, this is where all of our picnic tables and
all that
kind of stuff are at. We're kind of in between the service day, so we haven't tidied up or anything like that. But it's a fun setup, and the owners of the farm are great people, and they've done a lot to help us kind of get on our feet and get things started.
You said that you were strategic in opening up there because, you know, of the Cisco's is a stone's throw away and everything. So how did you find them? Was it random, or was it like, how did one find a farm?
It's a long story. So these guys, they don't do a whole ton of agricultural farming anymore. Yeah. They still do a handful. The farm has developed over the years into like an entertainment venue type deal. So across the street, and I can show you a little better once we get towards the end, I'll flip the camera around and I can show it to you.
Cool.
But across the street, they have a huge fall fest that they have set up there that's open in the later half of September through October for Halloween and the fall area.
That's cool.
So they've got haunted houses over there. They've got corn maze. They've got a whole bunch of stuff. And then the side we're on, which is across the street, they do farmers markets here every Saturday. So we're here on our own Thursdays and Fridays, and then the farm's open on Saturdays. And so we're open for breakfast throughout this season, just because the farm's open at 9 a.m. So why not sell some breakfast while people are here? But it's a really cool spot. People come out, they've got a whole bunch of stuff for kids to do, and like 50 plus vendors that set up and sell produce, and there's a whole bunch of different type of stuff. Yeah.
So that's good. Like, even if someone didn't know that existed, if they're just coming out for barbecue, they could pop over there. How late does that stay open? Like 3 or something? Or?
Yeah, till 3.
Yeah,
so it works out great. I mean, we're open on Saturdays from 9 a.m. till 10:30 for breakfast, and then like 10:45 until we sell out for lunch. And we make a lot of food, but it's so busy here, we can't keep up. We're usually done around 2:30 or so on Saturdays.
That's nice. That's a really cool thing. And then you also said that you have, and I think I had noticed on your Instagram that you have two primitive pits. You have 2,000 gallon primitives, right?
Yep. We've got 2,000s on a trailer. We just got a BQ as well.
We did.
So we're cooking. We don't do a ton with it right now. We do a lot of all of our vegetables we prepare on there. So our corn for our elote, and then all of our vegetables for a fire roasted vegetable side that we make all get roasted on there. And then we do different specials. So we do pork steaks, half chickens, and those are all cooked on the BQ as well.
That's perfect. That's really perfect.
Yeah. No, it works out super well.
But eventually you'll do some whole hog events or half hog?
We're hoping to. Yeah. We're hoping to do a whole hog for Father's Day weekend because they do a big barbecue festival here. This will be the second annual festival for that. So we're hoping to do a whole hog along with everything else and just kind of see where it goes.
Yeah. That's cool. That's definitely cool. I would love to eventually get photos and stuff of all that stuff of your pits.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll send it over.
I love that stuff. And I like to share that. I don't know why.
We've got a pit on order from Syntex as well. So we're picking up 1,000 gallon from Mike, hopefully towards the end of next month. See kind of when that gets done, but it'll be here pretty soon. We're excited to use that because from the folks I've talked to, they're a bit more efficient on wood, and wood prices have just continue to decline.
No, you'll get the one of the best damn pits with Mike. Yeah, he's amazing. Oh, that's cool. So you'll have 3,000 gallon pits. That's a you think you'll be selling it? Like, do you think so? Will you be running all three at once? You think
so? Right now, we do run both of the thousands, not every day, but most days we do. So preparing stuff for Fridays and Saturdays, the 1,000, both of them are up and running, at least a good portion of the day. Mm-hmm. But we've continued to add capacity, or at least add food every day. So hopefully we'll get into it. That was something where because last year when we were open at the farm doing pop-ups, and we can talk about that.
Yeah.
We can talk about how we got the relationship here, but we were selling out so fast that we couldn't keep up. And we're getting back to that point now. And so that's why we bought the third one, is because we knew that it's only going to get busier.
Oh yeah.
And the lead time on those things is so long that we were like, well, we have the money now. Let's just go ahead and buy it. Just because we know we'll use it. So we went ahead and pulled the trigger on it.
Isn't that interesting too, that like a Texas style barbecue place can do that type of volume in like pork country, which was pork country. It's like things have blended and changed, and you're doing it like Texas style, but also with your own twist. Like I find that fascinating that there's that. And I'm sure there was a little bit of a learning curve. Let's start. First off, is it pronounced Dampf?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And I looked it up like a couple nights ago, steam or something in German, or?
It does. So yeah, in German, it is steam. And specifically for steam engines, is what it means. So it's funny. It kind of fits with all the chimneys of smoke pumping out over here. And there's a big chemical company right down the road. That's a big German chemical company. So believe it or not, we've got a pretty good following on Instagram, and about 40% of our following is international, which is just blows my mind. And I think it's because of our name.
I think so too.
And so we get a lot of European travelers that'll come here and get off the plane, and they'll come right here to get food. And I think it's because they Google, like, Dampf is maybe comes up commonly.
And so or like their search engine set for like German words or words that are...
Right. Whatever it is, we have a big following in Europe. And so we get a lot of European visitors, which is hilarious.
That makes me so happy. That's so great.
Yeah. I did not see that coming, but it happened. And so it's been fun.
have you ever done a genealogy? Like, have you gone back and seen like how far back you're? Okay. That's something to do someday. I got, because I'm taking care of my mom, I've been watching a lot of PBS. So they have like Finding Your Roots. And so they'll have a celebrity or somebody, a writer, like, and they'll go back a lot of them in Germany, Austria, like places. And so I'm sure you have some sort of interesting lineage. So how did this all come about?
So I've always wanted to start a business. I grew up with dad. My dad was always had business ideas. And so we kind of grew up with that household, that where our father was talking about a lot of things, and he had started his own a couple of his own side businesses, and so it's kind of always something I had thought about. And
in your blood.
As the world kind of got crazy, I had wanted to do something with barbecue for the longest time. I started doing barbecue when we lived up in Wisconsin. So this was like 2016 or so. So I've been doing it for a little while now. Just backyard stuff was before this, but
yeah.
And we were sitting around the table. It was November of 2020. And it was like, it was right before, I don't even remember anymore. It was like right before the COVID shutdown stuff. And we were talking about doing it, and we were just like, well, let's just do it, because just the way the world was going, we were like, I'm a little tired of working for corporate America, and barbecue is always a big passion. We always wanted to start a business. And so me and my wife and my brother,
it's a pandemic, let's start a business.
Let's just start a business. It makes people happy. It brings people together in a time where people are wanting to not be together. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun. We started doing pop-ups. Yeah, exactly. And we started doing pop-ups June of 2021. And we just did pop-ups pretty much every Saturday until this past October is when we started being here at the farm with a regular schedule.
Was your brother involved at the beginning?
He was.
Okay.
He was. So he was
Bryce, right?
Bryce, yeah. So he's been involved the whole time. And our cousin actually just came out here. He didn't plan it that way. But he moved out here from the Eastern St. Louis area, for a different job, but ended up leaving and coming and working with us. And he started work with us last August or September. And so he's been with us now for coming up on almost a year now too, which has been awesome.
So is he a DAMF too?
He is not.
and the name is DAMF Good Barbecue?
Yes, it is. So there's a whole another funny story that, yeah. It's definitely catchy. It catches people's attention.
For sure.
A funny thing about us is anybody that's spent any time around us, none of us swear. Like none of us, we don't cuss or anything. And which is fine. We never want anybody to feel weird about it when they're around us or not. But so growing up in high school, when I was playing football, all of our coaches would use our last name as a swear word to kind of entice us and make us angry. And it kind of stuck with me through college when I went to college. And just because it was such an abnormal thing. I mean, most high school football, most college football players swear like a sailor.
Yeah.
And so when we didn't, it was so out of the norm that people started using our last name like that. And we used it for our wedding. It was the wedding slogan was about dance time. And then my wife actually came up with the idea for the barbecue. She's like, what about damn good barbecue? Like that would, and it stuck. So we've been using it ever since.
it's perfect. So what do you use? If you stubbed your toe, what do you say?
I don't even know. Oh my goodness, I guess. For crying out loud.
Hopefully you don't stub your toe, but next time you do, think about it.
Yeah.
Text me or DM me and tell me if like something comes up. But I'm sure, yeah, it's interesting how you can get yourself set so you don't swear. It's kind of in my blood. But it was also my dad. My family, we have there's religious elements and there's not, but my dad would smash his thumb. Like he was like your dad, kind of like he always did projects, but he did a lot of stuff with hammers and nails and injured himself a lot. So I think that's where he got his. It kind of goes with what he was doing. But okay, so then if you started, did you guys have a pit or did you have like a pit from Home Depot or something? How did you start?
So our first one was, so the pop-ups, we actually invested in a Primitive.
Okay.
So our first commercial that we were using for actual selling food was a 500-gallon Primitive.
Okay.
And so we bought that, was that January of 2021. And then the week we picked it up, we did a pop-up that Saturday. So we picked it up on Thursday or Wednesday or something, and then did a pop-up that Saturday. I think looking back on it, I'm like, that was insane.
That's gutsy. Yeah,
that was ridiculous. But we did. Luckily, folks around here don't know. We're still teaching a lot of people like what good barbecue looks like and what to look for when you're looking for brisket and all that kind of stuff. So, but back then people didn't have a lot to kind of gauge it off of. And I'm thankful
because it was meat. Pictures. Yeah. Back like it's meat and people love meat. And so it was probably soft enough, like just soft enough.
Yeah. It was edible. It was definitely edible. But looking back on it now, I'm like, man, I can't believe we were selling that stuff.
But I think that you would, if you talk to like almost all the people that I talk to, their first stuff like even like the early days of seeing like moose and stuff, because I saw them like in their backyard. If they look back at those photos, they're like, oh my gosh. But it's,
yeah,
you know, there's like there's progress. And then I think this is also good for people that are listening to this or watching this, that it's pretty recent that you started, and you started during the pandemic. So if someone, like, it's, I hate to tell someone to quit their job and do this or do this on the side, but it's also like a lot of people write me and say, hey, should I quit my job? Or I'm like, number one, don't ever quit your job. Like, just unless it's something you want to do, not something that someone else tells you to do. But it's also, but it's doable. And what you've done, and you've also brought it to somewhere, a place where, you know, it wasn't familiar. So that's, wait, so then what were you cooking on when you were practicing before the 500 gallon?
So before the 500 gallon, I had a Old Country Brazos.
Yeah.
Is what I was cooking on. And then I've had a bunch of different sides. I had a Weber Smoky Mountain. I had a standard Weber kettle, which is actually sitting right over here. We use it for our barbecue classes. And then I think, oh, and then my wife bought me a char griller from Home Depot.
Oh yeah.
It was the first one I ever had. Yeah.
But also too, like a lot of, I've talked to a lot of people. It's people that are incredibly famous within the barbecue world. And they have, like they said, like if you can cook on a certain, like on like those like crummier pits or thinner steel, whatever, it's like, that's, there's a certain ability that you gain from learning on pits that are, like if you jump straight to like a Centex or a mill scale.
Oh my, it's ridiculous. I always tell people, because people always ask for tips and like, how in the world are you guys getting that kind of bark or the kind of like these different things that they're looking for? And I'm just like, man, I'm just gonna be honest with you. You can't, it's hard to replicate what we can do off these 1,000 gallons, and you can't just, it's hard to do in the backyard unless you're willing to buy like a mill scale or some of these more expensive backyard pits.
$4,000 to $5,000.
Then it's hard to do. Yeah. To spend $4,000 on a backyard pit.
Yeah. You have to convince your wife that you get a lot of people.
Yes. From. Yeah. It took a lot of barbecue to make that worth it.
Yeah. But it's also like, if you can afford it, it's cool. It's really a cool thing to have.
Exactly.
And you could see that everyone, I'm starting, you know, I've done those lists and stuff. Everyone is starting to get into the backyard because that's an interesting segment that you can get people into. And it also creates more clientele for barbecue joints, I guess. And,
oh, yeah.
Do you still have that 500, or did you get rid of that to get these 1,000?
So we had, for the longest time, we had the 500 still here. We sold it maybe like a month and a half ago to a guy down in Pensacola, Florida.
Oh, wow.
He's in the early stages right now of getting his started. Yeah, he's a good guy. His name is Jimmy. I'll have to send you the name of his Instagram that he's got running for his, like, I think he's starting to run a catering business, but he's a good guy. He came up and got that, and we sold that to help fund a little bit of the Centex purchase as well.
No, that makes sense.
And we just weren't using it. Wanted to go to a good home.
Yeah. No, that's smart. So were you popping up while you were still working with Cisco?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I quit working for Cisco November 2022. No, awesome. 2021. I can't remember now.
You said it's almost been 3 years.
It's, so it's been a little while.
2020.
Yeah.
So, so whatever dates you've given, it's been almost 3 years. So you could just plop things in between. Okay. So, but so almost 2 years you've been out of
Yeah, that. Almost 2 years that I've been fully self-employed.
Wow, that's exciting. Was that a crazy moment, or was that?
Yeah, it was crazy. It's still crazy. It's still crazy.
But did you already have the because you said it was October, was when you started out here?
It was. So for that first 10 months of being fully self-employed, we were still only doing pop-ups once a week. So it was definitely tight, but we just didn't have the funds, we didn't have the location to do anything meaningful with it. We had been approached by a couple people to put in a brick and mortar, like in downtown Raleigh and a bunch of different spots around Cary. And we probably had like 10 different opportunities, but everybody wanted us to work 7 days a week, change our menu in some way, or get rid of the offsets. And I was like, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to work that much. I'm not going to get rid of the smokers that really define what we do. Mm-hmm. And so they all fell through. For good reason, because they are outrageously expensive. I don't know how people afford some of these restaurant spots. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of people recently that they've thrown around numbers, and I thought, wow. Like, I think it was Michael Black too was telling me, and I'm like, I didn't realize how much a restaurant costs. Like, it's
well, one of the spots we were talking to was a food hall in downtown Raleigh. Oh. And it was going to be upwards of $15,000 a month just to rent that spot. And I'm just like, that's just
stressful.
Insane. That's I can't even imagine paying that much money.
But someone is. Month. Is it full?
Yeah, it's full. Wow. It's crazy.
That's people a lot. A lot of ramen if someone has like a ramen place.
Yeah. I mean, they're making, the restaurants in there are doing well, but I mean, you've got to be making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be cracking $1 million a year just to afford rent.
Yeah, you've got to be selling like other things too, like alcohol and drinks and
exactly.
That's crazy. So, what was your menu at like at the beginning?
When we first started, it was brisket, pulled pork, mac and cheese, and coleslaw and beans. I think that was it.
Wow,
two meats and those three sides. And then we slowly added beef ribs was the first thing we added. That was like that for a long time, just those three, and then we added pork ribs, eventually pork belly. So now our full menu, every single day, we've got seven different meats. We have a daily special, and then we have six or seven sides. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but we do brisket, spare ribs, turkey, pulled pork, sausage. We make our own sausage in-house. We make two different kinds. We've got three or four different recipes, but out of the food truck, it's a little unmanageable to do more than that. Two. So we make two variations of sausage, beef ribs every day, and then we do pork belly. We do the pork belly, and I kind of stole the idea from Dane at Dane's Craft Barbecue. So we do it bacon brisket. We were selling it as we were cooking it the same way, just kind of how I thought to cook it, because I tried doing pork belly burn-ins, but they got too popular. And so we just wanted to kind of do something different. And so we did the way that Dane cooks it, where we season it like a brisket, cook it like a brisket, and then slice it. We were calling it pork belly, but no one was buying it. And so we switched it to bacon brisket and everybody bought it. And so now it's like one of the most popular things on the menu. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's isn't that crazy psychology of people. It's presentation. It's like if it's, I know that or somebody was telling me something that they had on their menu and they're like, it wouldn't sell because the name was so unfamiliar to people or so.
Yeah.
Yes, off-putting. Oh, that's really interesting. So what sausages are you making?
So we make two different ones. It's the first one that we call it the Pepper Munster. It's a beef and pork sausage with jalapenos and Munster cheese.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of got the flavor profile is what you would expect from a traditional jalapeno cheddar. We just throw in the Munster instead of the cheddar.
Cool.
And then we do another one called the Texas Jack. And that one's a beef sausage. It still has a hog casing, so it's not an all beef sausage, but it's a beef sausage. And we put a habanero pepper jack cheese in that. Wow. So that one we make that like a traditional Texas hot link. So without the cheese, that's what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. But we added the pepper jack in there just so it's a little spicy.
Yeah, and your sausages look great. They look that's killer.
Thank you.
Do you sell a lot of them? No, they really look good.
We do. We go through about 40 pounds a week or so right now, which doesn't sound crazy, but for us, it's been crazy how much people have liked those sausages.
Well, and that's also something too cool for people to get a chance to try, because there's not a lot of places in the area other than you said, like Lawrence is close, but he's close, but there's not a lot of places. Does he even have sausage? I don't know.
No, Jake doesn't make sausage. The closest to us would probably be Prime Barbecue with Chris Barreto.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They make their own sausage there. That's really good.
And that's Knightdale.
Yep. Yeah. Up in Knightdale. It's about 35 minutes from us.
Okay, cool. So if that's what I was in my head, I was thinking there, if someone wants to do a little barbecue run, they can do you guys and they could do Lawrence Barbecue and then they could do Prime. Is there any other ones that are close by?
Yeah, we've got some buddies that just opened a spot in downtown Raleigh called Longleaf Swine. I haven't gotten
stuff. Yeah, it looks really good.
I've heard their food is really good. And then if you want to make the trip all the way out to Charlotte, going to John G's is always a worthwhile trip as well.
They're Saturday.
It's only like 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes from here. So I mean, if you plan it accordingly and go in the right direction, it would be on the way in a weird way.
Or you guys are like, it's a 2-day thing. And then you could also do some.
Exactly.
How far away are you from? Like, I think it's kind of far. It's Aiden from you.
Yeah. So Aiden is about an hour and 35 minutes from here.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Definitely going out to Skylight is worth the trip though.
For sure.
It's a different experience. That's been when we moved down here, I had a hard time with Carolina Barbecue. I'll be completely honest. Probably people are going to hate me for saying that.
That's okay.
But I had a hard time with it, which is kind of what started this. But going out to Aiden trying Skylight really changed my mind on Eastern Carolina Barbecue because they're doing it the right way. They're doing it with wood. You can see they've got like 20 cords of wood stacked up laying around waiting to go in there and make some more coals. And it's great. Yeah. You can definitely tell that the way that they're doing it is different. And then there's a handful of others that are around the area that I just haven't been to yet.
It's something like what you're doing, but still it's cool. But it's also too, like you're in an area in North Carolina, there's places that like we're selling like chopped pork sandwiches for like three something and they'd raise the price like 45 cents and people would like go berserk. So like, it's interesting that you're able to, you know, make it work in your situation. So then at what point, what was it that made you think that I could quit my job and do this?
I don't even know if it was more a point with the barbecue, more so than it was I need to get out of corporate America now.
That makes sense. Yeah.
that's kind of what kickstarted it, but it was good. I mean, it worked out, the timing was good, and I'm happy that it worked out that way because it kicked us into focusing on getting the business up and running, and it's worked out well.
Do you like working with your brother?
I do. I do. It's definitely interesting.
I guess I'm putting you under the...
He's probably sitting back here listening to me right now.
I'm sorry, Brian.
No, it is. It is. It's always funny working with family. There's always...
Oh yeah.
There's always your own little challenges in doing it, but it is fun. It's nice because I can trust them to do the right job, and they appreciate what we're doing and are kind of in for it for the long haul. So it's good having other folks working with me that are invested like I am.
And sharing that success with family members, it's fun. That's a great feeling. It's something, there's something special about that success. Like the bad times are like just the worst.
Yeah.
But it's like well, when you're successful or like you're overcoming hurdles with family members, it's fun. It's exciting. Like when I work with my dad, there are times I'm like, oh, but I also like when we get big jobs or do good things, it was just something special about that with my dad that I'll always remember, you know. That's really cool. Is there an airport behind you? Like every so often I see
the airport is like 6 minutes that way or 7 minutes down the road. So we get planes that fly over here all the time. The other day we actually saw Air Force One flew over, which was wild. That one was hard to miss because it was 747 and it was flying low because it was getting ready to land. So you could read, it was so close. I could read the words on the side of the plane.
Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. How did you get connected with the farm? And then like, just talk about your hours and like all that good stuff.
Yeah. So we got connected with the farm. Last year, we started doing pop-ups here in the summer, and it was just crazy how much people enjoyed the food. I mean, we'd have like a 2 hour and 45 minute line, and people waiting for food. And we were looking at a brick and mortar spot that fell through. And so we approached the Michael, who's the owner of the farm, and we're just like, hey man, like if we could get a food truck, would you guys be open to us setting up here? And they were all about it. They put in power for us. So we could plug the truck in and, gave us kind of carved out this little section for us to put the smokers and kind of set up shop here. And so that's kind of where it started. October, we were here 3 days a week out of a tent. We were working out of a tent, which was wild. And then we got the food truck up and running in January. So we did the tent here 3 days a week, October, November, December, which was funny. And then the food truck we had open in January. So we're like 5 months in, getting on 5 months in. Working out of the trailer.
Did you get a trailer and get it retrofitted the way you wanted it, or was it something that you just
It's all custom in there. We've got three refrigerators, full-size refrigerators, bunch of prep space. It's ready to go. I mean, it's a 32-foot trailer, so it's huge,
and yeah, it's good size.
We run our whole operation out of there, which is great.
That's crazy. That's good. So then that thing that's built over your smokers, is that something you guys had built, or did you guys build that yourself? Or
yeah, so Primitive built that.
That was built by Primitive too. Okay.
It was. So let me see if I can flip this around real quick. And I can just show it to you real fast.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So they built this around the smokers. So it's got awnings on both sides, on the back and then on the sides where we would access the smoker.
Perfect.
Very nice.
Yeah,
it keeps keeps the sun off us, which can get kind of brutal around here. But we've got, I don't know.
Oh, nice. They look pretty.
But yeah, so we've got, I don't know, like 10 briskets in here about, and then some pastrami. We do pastrami Rubens on Thursdays.
Those look good. Really good.
They are very, very good. A lot of our specials are because of, they're just things that we like to eat. We're just big fat kids like everybody else that loves barbecue.
You like the same stuff. Yeah.
We cook what we want to eat, and that was one of the ones that we really wanted.
That's cool. No, the pastrami is, there's something special. When someone does it right, it's so good. So good. It's hard to eat it every day, but if like,
yeah,
twice, three times a week. Okay. So there's a, is that your food truck?
Yep. So this is the food truck. We had it wrapped by a local company. They did a great job.
They did a great job.
It's called the King Tut Graphics is who wrapped the trailer. But yeah, so we've got two serving windows. People order down here and then they pay down here, and I'd take you in there if it wasn't a disaster.
That's okay.
But we've got chopped, cut and block up here, menus down here, people to order on.
They line up to the left, or they would line up that, like, and that would be the first spot. Okay.
They line, the boards are all here. They walk up, they order here, and they check out down here.
Cool.
We set it up so that way it works like a normal barbecue service line would. So folks will start here, get their meat, get their sides, and then check out, and then they're on their way. And so people will park. We have a ton of parking all along the edge of this gravel parking lot. And so people will just walk up, and we've got a nice pavilion here for coverage. So if it's raining, we'll back the trailer up so that way it's up against the edge, and people Perfect. Can be fully underneath the pavilion when it's raining. And then when it's really hot, we've got covered seating as well.
And you have those two areas of covered seating, or just the one?
So just the one back there.
Okay.
But I mean, we have the flexibility to kind of move it around if we need to. And it's depending perfect. On the day of the week, we'll do that.
And what days of the week you're open?
So we're open Thursdays through Saturdays. We open at 11 a.m. and we close. We try to stay up until 7 p.m. So we cook enough food to make it through lunch. And then we're usually open until 7 on Thursdays and Fridays.
Is that something we can sell out and take it home, or?
Yep. So we can do dinner. And we're here anyways, cooking, might as well make some extra food so people can come get dinner that can't make it for lunch.
That's good to know. That's really important to know. That's actually a great thing. I should try to say at the intro too, because that would be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's good. No, it's that option's not always available for people.
Yeah.
And it's Saturday. I mean, you're opening early on Saturday for right now.
Yep. For right now through the summer, while there's a farmer's market open here at the farm, we will be open for breakfast, and we try to share it on social media if we're going to be open that day for breakfast or not. But we'll serve the bacon brisket breakfast tacos, and then we do a barbacoa breakfast tacos as well.
That's cool.
And so we'll do that through the summer, and then we'll see what happens with it. Maybe we'll do it on Saturdays when the farm's not open, if people really like it. See if people like it enough to keep it around, we'll do
it. Yeah, maybe you could do it through that that fall festival stuff. That, like, do they do it on the weekends and the Saturdays there too? I guess that's...
They do. So the fall festival is, it's really hard to see. They're doing some construction over there, but you can kind of get the scale for what they've got going on. So right across the street, this is where they'll have the corn maze. It's all on the side over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got three buildings over here for the haunted houses that they'll open up. And then all the way back to the tree line, all the way in the distance, is included in this area. So it's, I mean, it's probably a good 10, 15 acres of space that they've got designated just for the fall.
Wow. So if someone was coming, flying into Raleigh, how long would it take them to get to you?
They were flying in here. We are a 7-minute drive from the airport.
Wow. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
No, so like, so if they, so they fly in from Germany, and then they take the, then they'll get a rental car and then they'll go straight to you guys.
Exactly.
That's great. That still blows me away. Then I think that's one of the coolest takeaways from this, is that many from Europe. That's wild. I'm have to like look at your like comments, or look in like your like who's following you to see like that. It's probably a bunch of interesting barbecue people that.
Like, it is,
because there's a big interest in American style barbecue.
We had a guy come from the Netherlands. He flew in for like a work trip, and his mission was to get our food before he left. So an hour and like a half before he got on his plane to head back home, He came and bought a half pound of every single meat on the menu, a beef rib and multiple sides. And he sat over here and ate the entire thing because he knew he couldn't bring it on the plane. And he got up and walked around. He's like, I got to make more room for it. I can't throw it away. He walked around to make more room before he got on the plane and head home.
He just passed out on the plane, like on a meat coma. Like, that is so, or that super
for 17 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he took like a Valium or like had a drink and something after. But that's interesting. That's really, really cool. Now, what time are people coming? Like on Thursday, Friday, do you have to come early, or is it something that like how are people lining up or not?
No, I mean, we'll have a line on, it usually starts the form like around 10:30 on a Saturday.
Okay.
But Thursdays and Fridays, I mean, people will usually show up right when we open. Especially on Friday, we do a Lavorian Lewis style burger. So it's a half pound smoked brisket burger that we sear on the flat top, and we serve it real simple with some American cheese, a house made burger, sauce, pickles, and onions. And that has become incredibly popular. And so that one, people will show up early on a Friday to order that because we'll sell about 50 or 60 of those burgers on a Friday. I don't know why people just really like it. And so that's the only day that we really recommend people get here early is for the burgers, because usually it's hard to tell how many we'll have once we get later in the day. But yeah, normal days, I mean, definitely if you want a special or something we don't carry a ton of, like beef ribs, I'd come as close to 11 as you can.
Okay.
But if you're just trying to come and get some brisket or get a simple meat plate or something like that, then I wouldn't stress about trying to get here right at 11 o'clock.
Someone could get there around noon or
until it gets really busy. You never know. I mean, it could change in a month, but now as it stands, that's not how it is.
and also it depends on the day. Like if there's something going on in the area or something that, you know, people like places get crowded for weird reasons. Like it's sometimes.
Yeah, they really do.
Not realize that it's going to be as bad. So just try to get there early, but you don't have to get there like at 9. Like you can get there.
Yeah, you don't have to get there at 9. No, there really isn't anywhere that I can think of around this area where you really have to do that. I mean, Prime on a Saturday gets pretty busy. But then again, they make a lot of food too. So they're usually good through lunch,
pretty efficient,
as long as you come during lunch. Yeah, they're real, real quick. And we try to move quick. I mean, on Saturdays, we'll get through the line about 30, 40 seconds a person when we're really moving. We try to eliminate some of the stuff that slows us down on Saturdays now that the farm's open.
Yeah.
Anything that requires a lot of cook time, we just remove it from the menu so we don't slow down service. But still, it just gets, there's a lot of people, so it gets busy.
Yeah. That's fun, though. That's part of the reason people are doing it. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, you have to wait a little bit. Like, it's not, I think that people, hopefully, that watch this or listen to this, understand. And they kind of, if the fact that, like, they'd probably be waiting in much less line with you than they would at a place in Texas that would be on a Saturday.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool. And what's all your social media? What's the best ways to get a hold of you?
Yeah. So luckily, our name is so unique that it's just at Damn Good Barbecue on literally everything. we're not on Twitter, but we're on Instagram, Facebook. That we've got a YouTube channel that we started like a year ago, but we've got plans to reinvigorate and get back in there. So we'll get that one will get going, but right now, Instagram and Facebook, Instagram's the best.
Yeah.
If you want real time updates on menu and all that type of stuff, we try to keep it updated throughout the day.
Are you going to be having classes sometime soon?
We will. So we've had our first two already. We had a grilling class like 2 weeks ago. And then we have our next class on July 8th on a Saturday. We're actually going to close the food truck down and we're doing a barbecue boot camp class, and it should be a really good time. I'm hoping people will see the value in it and want to be a part of it. But we're going to do the class is going to be a real hands-on experience cooking brisket.
Cool.
So if you signed up for the class, you would get a brisket of your own that you would trim, season, and then cook with us on the 1,000 gallons all day.
Well, maybe that's what I saw. So, were you talking about, did you guys announce that?
Yes.
Maybe? Okay. That's what it was.
We did. Yeah, we did. We announced that this weekend, but yeah, we've got that coming up in July. So that one, I think that one will be really, really fun. It'll be exciting and give people sometimes
great.
Like, for
no,
me,
it's really cool.
Like it's hard learning unless you get that hands-on experience. And so
especially for someone that's made as many mistakes as you, like you've made a lot of mistakes and learned a lot.
Right.
So it's, instead of them having to go through all these, you probably tell them all the different things that you have gone through.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which is like, they'll still have made mistakes at home, but it's like, it's nice that they could have someone to learn the steps and then try their best on it. It's, yeah, it's always,
right.
That's really, that's cool. So then isn't it like, you have to email you guys, or what's the best way to?
So on our website, we have an event tab. And they'll just go on there, and then all of our classes, just for the future, will always be posted on that event tab. So if we ever post about one, you can go on there and get tickets. And we'll sell the tickets on there until we sell out of them. We've kept the class sizes pretty small, so they're a lot more intimate. We can ask questions, spend time with people, talking to them.
And you also sell the hats on the website too, right?
We do. So we've only got like a handful. I'll have to send you one. If you have to send me your address, I'll have to send you one.
So you only have a handful left?
Yeah, we've got like 3 or 4 left. I need to get some more ordered. We've got a ton of shirts, only a handful of hats.
Okay, cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you. But that's cool. I'm so glad that we finally got this together. I know a lot of people.
Me too.
And I love, like, your food looks fantastic. I can't wait to visit.
Thank you.
When I do get a chance to visit, when things calm down over here. But it's just, I love your energy. I love who you are. I think it's you've always been super cool too. Like, just in our dealings of trying to get this to work out, there's certain people that get irritated with life. I'm sure you deal with those kind of people too, but it's been a pleasure trying to get this.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. I appreciate you reaching out and setting it up. It's been awesome listening to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of crazy to be on it ourselves. So we really appreciate the opportunity.
No, I love what you're doing, and I really want to let people know about what's going on in that area for you, because I think that you're such a great option. And being 7 minutes or 8 minutes from the airport, people are coming through all the time. I have lots of friends now that I know it's that close, because I've told people I didn't realize. Geographically, I don't know. I think people don't know that area too in their heads very well. And they think of, like, it's like Tennessee. Sometimes, like, people think Nashville and Memphis are like right.
I know. Well, and if you look at the pictures, we're on a farm, you'd think it'd be like an hour outside of Raleigh.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just not the case.
Yeah.
Now this is just a temporary spot. I probably won't be here forever, but we're at least here through the summer, through into the fall, and
cool,
at least here until we're not here anymore. So
if you're following along, you'll know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope so. If you're paying a little bit of attention, you probably can figure out where you've been. And if you do go there and you're not there, hopefully there's like a little sign that says like, or you can look at your Instagram and probably see pictures of your brick and mortar or wherever you are. Well, cool. Well, this has been so great. I can't wait too. Like, once you get the Centex in, send me some photos too. I'd love to see.
I will. Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
You too.
Bye.